Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Yes, we're back.
Never late, never black-pilled, never again.
Yes, there's an alternate for that last one, but we'll let you figure it out. We are not, in fact, late. We are always on time, as we just said.
Oh, I.
But yes, always. Welcome. Welcome to our irregular Monday stream. We thought that we'd give you all, not a roundup, but we've really got some more delving into the post-woke world.
I mean, I was actually like almost being like a normal like YouTuber-y person on the internet, because I asked people on Twitter, would you like a stream on this? And they all said, yes, we'd like a stream on that. And now we're making the stream. Also, that person said, I would watch whatever you did, even if it was just a stream on your favourite dinner. Thank you for your appreciation.
We could make a stream. I don't know, maybe we'll just make a stream about dinner at some point.
Well, to be fair, I have on multiple occasions threatened to just like stream cooking, but
we have threatened to actually just stream ourselves in the kitchen.
Anyway, yes. We're back.
We are indeed back. As we let people filter in, we will say that the weather has been grey and greyer.
The monocloud has returned.
The monocloud has returned and we have been thoroughly drizzled on.
All hail the monocloud.
All hail the monocloud. We love the monocloud. We don't need sunlight. Yeah, that's evident consumption from lack of sunlight.
Yes, I'm contracting a number of 18th century diseases. Consumption and beriberi.
If you wish, God, there's some sort of like chat goal, but we're not going to do that. That's gay.
Chat goals.
Chat goals are awful.
Are these goals?
Chat, are these goals? But if you do want to support us, we are still fully monetized on YouTube. Somehow, that means you can become a member, you can send super chats.
Super stickers. If you want to for some reason, you can become a member of the channel. You can support us on the Substack, which we need to get round to fixing.
Yeah, we're having some technical issues with it.
And if you just want to give us some money and not pay tax on it anyway, feel free to give us stuff via the Ko-Fi.
Yes,
we are greatly appreciative of any support that people want to give to this stuff. At the end of the day, most of everything we'll do will always just be free anyway.
But yes.
If you want to show the fact that you support it, feel free. Other than that, I think, I don't know, do we just get the ball rolling?
Is over!
It's over, guys.
It's over, people.
We've given people the grace period. I mean, okay, to start at the beginning, I will say. To start at the beginning, I'll be going back and forth here a little bit. But about a year ago, we did a stream simply entitled Anti-Woke in a Post-Woke World. And we described what we were seeing coming. This was June 14th, 2023. Good Lord, time go fast.
I mean, I would go further and say that this is really, in a certain respect, I don't want to claim that this has just been us, but as the developing version of one of our greatest hits,
yes.
Which was sort of just running around battering people over the head with a newspaper going, no, don't take the low-hanging fruit, you'll pay for it. Now, back then, I don't think we could quite articulate the ways in which people would pay for it. But I think now we've got to such a point that this has become obvious. The
yes.
post-woke world is here. You better start believing in post-woke stories.
You're
living in one.
Yeah. We've spent the last, really, 2 years trying to describe the coming political paradigm. And now it is here.
Yeah.
And not to gloat too heavily. There may be a bit of gloating in this stream.
No, we will try and be
We will try and be reasonable. Humble, but we kind of did call it. We called a lot of this stuff. A lot of the stuff that we said was happen has happened to quite a disturbing degree, really.
Yes, and as some of the utmost discerners of slop,
yes,
we have to, of course, inform you that we have entered the month of Slopvember.
It is indeed Slopvember. Look at it. We've got the big trough. You can eat from the small trough or the big trough. It is indeed Slopvember. Fresh on the heels of Sloptober.
Oh, and you better believe that slop is kosher as hell.
Slopvember, the prime retailer of kosher slop.
Oh,
do not worry. It is 100% fully kosher slop.
Peel up a stool, put on your pig ears and whatnot. Have a good oink to yourself and join us at the trough.
It's Slopvember, guys. I hope you enjoy Slopvember, because join us at the trough. There will be much, much oinking.
There is plenty enough slop to go around. There's
plenty enough slop to go around. Filling the trough, first of all.
Right, so which one of these is the October surprise?
I don't know. There hasn't really been... This whole thing, this whole campaign has been boring. Because, one,
sorry,
you can't
campaign?
Repeat 2016.
What's going on?
There's some kind of election happening.
I thought
Trump had already won when, you know, people like Jeff Bezos decided, excuse me, I don't need to endorse a Democrat with my newspaper.
Yeah. Curtis Yarvin, absolutely BTFO'd, by the way.
Yes.
Money has no power. Excuse me, let Jeff Bezos just show you how money is power.
The two are closely related. The power center can undercut people with money, but usually the people who are chosen to have money are also the ones with the connections to power.
Well,
it's how it works.
He's also basically demanded the fact that a lot of the papers he owns will now start employing quote-unquote conservative writers, because we are now the heels, and I'm sorry, we are no longer the heels in the culture war. We are like the baby face heroes, and we need to fill up the Washington Post with loads of Douglas Murray and whoever else.
Like, Trump with the crystals and the thumbnail for a reason. Like, look, the... All the signs, like if you slaughtered a goat and put its entrails out, they'd spell out Trump will win.
Yeah.
Flawlessly.
Woke is over.
Woke is over, Trump will win. We're reading the entrails, we're listening to the ground, we're looking at reality.
No.
We're seeing...
Don't tell anyone, but we're actually in the future. That's how we do it all.
You're not supposed to tell them, man.
Oh, did I say that out loud?
Oh, no.
Ruined it.
We are from the future, and Donald Trump has already won. Because
beep,
Kamala,
boop.
Beep, boop. Kamala Harris is a jobber. Beep, boop. Beep, boop. She be jobbing. She be jobbing hard. Do you want to read these donations? I've got a few donations. Don't get too far into it.
We do have quite a bit to read through, so we will try and get a move on. How do you think the woke right attack narrative will develop post-Trump? When will the ruthful right come down hard on the Schmittians and the Newtisers? I think we'll probably leave that till later on to comment, but thank you anyway.
Yes, we do actually have stuff directly on that,
yes.
So thank you for predicting it.
Lamented Guide sends us 10 Canadian with
thank
a sticker.
You.
Thank you for the obligatory cringe sticker that says thank you.
That's not Canadian, is it?
Yeah. I thought he always sends money Canadian.
Does he?
I think he does. I believe that man's a Leaf.
I don't think Lamented Guide's a Leaf. How dare you accuse Lamented Guide, serial watcher of this channel, of being...
Oh, no, fair enough. It's American.
Anyway.
Right, Glow in the Dark sends us $2. Sorry, I'm trying to lose weight, so no slop for me. You can have some diet slop.
You can have some diet slop, yeah.
Well, I hope a Trump gov is the stuff of Rachel Maddow's nightmares.
And John Morton for the £10.
Yes, and Pete Q's dreams. I doubt it'll just be happy watching some cat ladies melt down. I don't know. That's what butters your parsnips, Mr. Morton. But thank you for the time.
We've been through this.
Right, let's smash through the slop. Let's muck bang this shit.
Well, it's just this is more powerful than polling is.
Mm.
This is a real indicator of where the elite want things to be.
Yes.
And it's very clear that elements of the US regime do want Trump. They do. They want him. He is being, as far as we can tell, cycled in.
Jamie Dimon, Larry Fink, Jeff Bezos, you know, Elon Musk, where, you know, a collection of some of the richest men in the world have all decided that they're putting their money behind Donald Trump.
I would actually be incredibly interested and mildly excited if Kamala Harris did win, because that would mean that they're not as good at the script as they think they are. But also, I don't think that's going to happen. That has a very low chance of happening, in my opinion. In my head, much like with Starmer, Trump has already won.
I have no hatch, but I would eat it if that happened.
It seems very unlikely, but...
Yes.
Stranger things have happened, I suppose. Los Angeles Times. Readers discuss the Times, LA Times, non-candidate endorsement in presidential race. Another non-endorsement. And as we all know, we take for granted that the media machine is, like, dyed blue.
Mm.
And when we see exceptions to it, that is as much as an endorsement.
That's the Overton window shifting, is it not?
Oh, I can feel
Overton window shifting.
The Overton window. I'll not get the Chud window out again. So we've had enough of those shenanigans. If you guys don't know what that is, watch our stream on the Overton window not being real. But yes, here we are. Jeff Bezos tells Washington Post editors to hire more conservatives as 10% of readers cancel subscriptions. It's the indicator minerals. Woke gone, Trump cycled in, normality restored.
I'm mildly interested re-absorbed. Here by the third paragraph there, just as a little snippet. Bezos has already appointed Will Lewis as CEO, who formerly worked at the Rupert Murdoch-owned Wall Street Journal. Ah,
Yeah, lovely.
It's almost like it's all the same people just coming back out of the woodwork again.
They seem to be cycling around. But yes.
But it's about that time of the stream, I think, where we have to catch up in our affirmations.
I'm afraid... Well, I'm not afraid. Today, that's awful. What we'll be having is some affirmations via Spiked Online.
Yes.
Our good friends, do watch our stream on them, our good friends, in quotes, at the Revolutionary Communist Party.
Oh, yes.
The Revolutionaries, Comedy Tories over at Spiked have filled the slop. Filled the trough slop. The yes. trough slop, sorry. But they filled it with affirmations.
I will say, as an aside, the fact that someone has actually bothered to write an article specifically on this angle is quite interesting, because this is preempting the fact that the sort of mainline centre-leftist point about this is all going to be about imperialism.
Well, I don't know what the bitch you want to read about this.
Well, no, I just thought it was funny. Israel is not a settler colonial state. The Jewish state was born through anti-imperial struggle.
Yeah,
just the first paragraph here. This is by, Jake Wallace Simons.
We're the real anti-racists, guys.
Yeah. Portraying Israel as a colonial imposition on indigenous people, a settler state expropriating their land and culture, is a major pillar of Israelophobia. As I explain in Israelophobia, the newest version of the oldest hatred and what to do about it, it is rooted in the suggestion that Jews have no place in the Middle East. What a silly thing to say.
Yes.
And they're alien to that region. I think they should all live there. A claim that is easily dismissed with even the briefest look at history. Yet, the demonization persists. 109, 110, 111. How many will be too many?
Yes, exactly. But it's thank you, Jake Wallace Simmons, for giving us our daily affirmation. But we move on to some more of the meat here, which is we have, again, Brandon O'Neill, avowed pedophile defender.
Yes. who's basically blocked both of us personally on Twitter for never interacting with him in any like meaningful way.
We try not to touch the poo too much, guys. We try not to go around being, "We're mad at you on the internet." We mostly try and have a kind of detached observation of these
people.
But
anyway.
Like the bugs that they are.
Brandon O'Neill, much like ourselves and our good friend, Mr. Panini, is a man of culture. And he's a man of fine taste, you know. Go Kemi. Go Kemi. Finally, a leader who's willing to fight the culture war. Kemi Badenoch is the anti-Kamala. Just the breath of fresh air the Western world needed.
What's the sessions you want out of this?
Yeah.
This is great.
I've got them in the article, but there's one that starts, Badenoch hasn't so much waded. I believe, here we go on this paragraph here. Yeah. This is Brendan O'Neill, of course, picking his smorgasbord and selection of issues that Kemi Badenoch really represents him. Badenoch hasn't so much waded into the trans row, as the media likes to describe it, as she has marched in, sword of truth raised.
Sword of truth!
She insists we must protect women's spaces from the presence of men.
I'm sorry. Who speaks about Okemi
Okungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungungung
about this person like this. Sword of truth raised. She insists we must protect women's spaces from the presence of men. Whether it is rapists being housed in women's prisons or men playing in women's sports. It's just not on, she says. And we must be free to say so without the fear of being accused of transphobia. Three cheers for that.
Yeah, then he has some awful paragraph here that's basically a bit like internalized like homophobia, and that's why people transition.
Yeah.
And then I think not this paragraph.
We have to protect the rights of gay men.
I mean, there's a million fucking points in here about like MLK and the fact that the left are the real racists and whatnot. Here we go. Here's the one that interests me. Why is Brendan O'Neill, a man in Britain, who writes for a British magazine that's sold to British people, who's talking about a leader of a British party, who does happen to be Nigerian, Israel and Hamas? But it's okay, because Kemi Badenoch has come to fix everything.
Yes.
She's even injected moral clarity into the tortured and frankly terrifying Israel-Hamas debate. I stand with Israel, she says. We cannot stand with Hezbollah. We cannot stand with Hamas. Then her killer line, we know who the bad guys are. at a time when so many of our young are beating the streets to damn Israel as evil and to praise Hamas as their resistance, it couldn't be more important to have a party leader who is so able to slice so finely through such abject moral idiocy and to state out loud that the Jewish nation has the right to defend itself against the armies of Jew haters that surround it. Bad guys, how rare. How refreshing to hear that phrase.
Well, as we've repeatedly tried to beat into you over these past 18 months, the post-woke world is just Zionist neocolonism.
Yep.
It is just the forever wars. It is just neocolonism writ large. A very specific ethno-religious neocolonism, because all of it has been from the days of Irving Kristol.
But it gets worse. This is kind of one of the, as I say, the next article we're going on to, which I think is worth almost essentially reading in full.
Yes.
Is the one that really got me thinking about doing this as a stream, coupled with another one by the same author.
It's important to see these things coming, because as we've talked about it, as the woke era ends, the banner of anti-woke and the things we need to do to secure, you know, the woke is forever gone, are sold to us in quite slippery terms. We have people coming out and making it sound like they're saying one thing, when really they're saying another. Mm. And there's a rearguard action here coming from people who demonstrably hunger for war. The most mouth-foaming warmongers you will ever see are mixed in with these supposedly base talking heads, who are all interchangeable, really.
Oh, God.
There's a lot of interchangeable people who are willing to say whatever they're really put up to, I'd say.
Sorry, I've just looked at the paragraph at the bottom of that article quickly. There's a whole point there about, the double standard of the Guardian, tone policing, Kemi Badenoch as abrasive. Is that not them being racist by saying she's a loud black woman?
This is a tweet from Ayan Hirsi Ali. Some of you may know them. And this was published on their own Courage.media vertical, which is a newly hatched based media vertical from another neo.
I can't remember who it is that she's married. I can't remember if it's fucking Douglas Murray, but it is someone like that. But it escapes me now. But yes, she's recently started this new website, Courage Media, which has really just become a font for more neocon, Sam Harris, Jordan Peterson, Douglas Murray crap. And I believe one of the first articles I saw from her on this site as she launched it was basically like a call to Western conservatives or anyone in the centre that there's an existential crisis and we have to go to war with Iran to stop radical Islam.
Yes.
As if it's still like 2014.
So you want to read this one pretty much in full then?
Yes, I find there is some clever linguistic tricks in this that I think need to be essentially explained slowly and literally.
Yes, they do, because there's a lot of duplicity going on here. And we've seen quite a few of these. We see articles like this pop up by writers, you know, Unheard, we'll get some of those later, but they all have a very similar tone to them. And I would say that that is deliberate. There is definitely, I would say, a set of handlers who work with these new based publications behind the scenes to message craft and to sew in what sounds like they're talking about certain topics whilst really causing and doing rearguard action for the current establishment and selling people a shiny new coat over what is neoconism.
Yes, no, exactly. So here we go. Was this? This is Israel Churchill and why we are still obsessed with World War II. Abandon the limits of liberalism for an alliance of patriotic nations. Fellow patriots.
But this is important because this is what is being sold as the next paradigm.
This is dissident. This is hard-edged material.
This is the supposedly hard-edged material, yeah.
We may have passed the first anniversary of the atrocities committed by Hamas on October 7th, but all eyes remain on Israel.
The sole Jewish state is trying to rid itself of terror threats from Palestine, Lebanon and Iran, with waning financial and moral support from its infighting Western allies. Who? Your based ally, sir.
Yeah. Protests on American college campuses and European cities have convinced left-wing politicians to cower before the kafir. Under Elon Musk's less censorious stewardship, X has become a theatre for debates about Israel's response. Why has this war become an obsession of so many so far from it? Why have not only progressive protesters, but also social conservative commentators paid so much attention to Israel? History podcaster Daryl Cooper incensed the internet last month, claiming in an interview with Tucker Carlson that Winston Churchill was the chief villain of the Second World War. This provoked an antibody reaction from Tucker's ostensible allies, historian Andrew Roberts and Victor David Hansen, catalogued the actual error or factual errors in Cooper's account. Commentators like Konstantin Kissin then accused Carlson of woke rightism, adopting contrarian opinions and white identity politics as a defensive posture against the progressive attack on the history, culture and statehood of European peoples. Sir Neil Ferguson said, by platforming Cooper, that Carlson had become an enabler of fascists. Indeed, Cooper's revisionism prompted a Pavlovian response from those tired of seeing their heritage subject to slander, all while Hitler's translated speeches are going viral on TikTok. Their concern is understandable. Nobody right-minded wants to see a Fourth Reich emerge. But I, without inferring the motives of Cooper and Carlson, would wager the fault line here runs deeper than mere Nazi apology.
So, in this paragraph, he's lamenting TikTok, and he's implicitly accusing them of Nazi apologia.
Well, no, he's suggesting that, of course, they are not up to Nazi apologia. In the same way that Joe Berry would suggest to Auron McIntyre of course, not agreeing with Nick Fuentes, but he might be considered a Fuentes enabler. Since October 7th, we have become aware that our politics still operate according to a paradigm established after the Second World War. This has led to a fascination with revisiting and revising its events. As Yates' centre fails to hold, the post-war consensus is being messily renegotiated. Our ragtag band of recovering liberals, Christian intellectuals, Hellenic vitalists and observant Jews, loosely called the Right, is strained by unresolved disputes. For a coalition to survive, each group's grievances must be heard. I shall carry on so we can get through as much as possible here. The story a civilization tells itself comprises its culture, and its resolution to establish a unified European historical consciousness, EU-characterized crimes committed by Nazi, fascist and communist totalitarian regimes as a negative foundation myth, to provide a strong sense of purpose for the European peace project. Since the horrors of the Holocaust, the modus operandi of European culture has been to fulfil the pledge, never again. In doing so, it adopted a politics of value pluralist liberalism.
Can we get some never agains in the chat, please?
Oh, yes, please. Never again. Never again in the chat. Antithetical to Nazi racism, and built institutions to enshrine this ideology, with the express purpose of making nations play nice. In 1948, the UN proclaimed its Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and the Congress of Europe convened in The Hague, where Churchill declared, "In the centre of our movement stands the idea of a charter of human rights guarded by freedom and sustained by law." The UK became the first country to ratify the European Convention on Human Rights in 1951. It assented to the UN Refugee Convention that same year, with the protection of Jews who fled Nazi persecution and were turned away in mind. Churchill is an avatar of this post-war political census. To misty-eyed patriots, his statue in Parliament Square stands testament to the moral legitimacy of Britain's involvement in the Second World War. Plans to build a Holocaust memorial beside Parliament has befuddled some, as Churchill's statue already represents our role in stopping it. Only two plausible motives to attack his legacy are conceivable. Either race communist revolutionaries find his 19th century vocabulary insufficient for modern sensibilities and act as if he poured libations to Poseidon to conjure a cyclone and cause the Bengal famine. Or, anyone citing legitimate failings, such as handing Poland and the Cossacks over to Stalin to die in the gulags described by Solzhenitsyn, are trying to draw false equivalence between Churchill and Hitler. Thanks to progressives crying wolf for decades, a handful of online Nazis seek refuge in socially conservative circles. When found out, they are cast out, but they try nonetheless.
What, again, is this being written to activate our almonds? This is like peak containment language. I mean, look at how, potentially based turnaround.
Yeah.
Every paragraph has like a liberal neocon fig leaf over it. How could anyone read this and not think this person is my enemy and would gladly feed me into some kind of Zionist woodchipper?
We can continue through the next article, but it's a big load of shite about the ECHR. There is more stuff about Churchill.
Yeah.
I would try and go to maybe about 3 down from there. Oh, God. Or did you want to do the stuff about Adorno there? give me 1 second, though. See where we are.
Right here, yes.
I was going to go for here.
Okay.
All right.
Sure.
The moral argument for granting to displaced European Jews their homeland is compelling, but it came at the cost of the British Empire. The funds secured by sacrificing the mandate for Palestine founded the new state religion, the NHS. Those who use the service least pay the most into it and were forced to sacrifice their careers and social lives to protect it during the COVID pandemic. Whereas Britain's empire lasted 300 years and ended the transatlantic slave trade and the single most expensive humanitarian venture in history, America's subsequent attempt to play world police has been less successful. Failures in Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya and Syria are within living memory for millennials and Gen Z. It should surprise nobody that those for whom the Second World War presses less on their conscience are most inclined to question the shortcomings of its resulting consensus. Churchill is collateral damage in this attempt to rid ourselves of institutions well past their expiration date. The fault line for the right is fast becoming post-war liberalism. Without recognising and dispensing with its limits, the right will not survive. But for whose sake are we dispensing these limits? Because it's not like he's explicitly said that this is for our own, is it?
Yeah.
Did you want to do some of this?
Oh, I mean, we could do, but I don't know. A lot of this is just him talking around the fact that he wants to keep you on a liberal plantation.
Well, it's more that the only place that you're allowed to step out of the liberal plantation is because you're trying to deal with the place of a certain alien group that exists within Europe and the Middle East.
There's so much double talk here. It's just talking about, basically just never again posting. Where do you want to get to with this?
Can you get me to European should not be cajoled? That should be a few paragraphs down from here.
I don't really. Start the paragraph?
Keep going. Yeah, it's at the start of the paragraph. Keep going. There we go.
There we go.
Europeans should not be cajoled into dissolving their distinct identities in a multicultural melting pot. These European host majorities are the most likely to accommodate friendly Jewish minorities. These bonds of friendship between tribes are what protect them, not nebulous liberal values. These European majorities should be allowed to abandon the captured institutions of the post-war order, nor should they be expected to accommodate Gazans displaced by Israel's war with Hamas. But they should also give guarantees to allied minorities to soothe mercifully needless anxieties that a Fourth Reich lurks just around the corner.
Let me read that again. That is extremely mental gymnastics to say that our nativist movement must involve a certain ethno-religious group, or it is Nazism and must be destroyed. It must contain them, and it must serve them, and it must be about making them feel comfortable. Your based movement, sir. I'll say it once again. How do people read any of this and go, yes, this is good? Are we the only people reading things and going, have you thought about the implications of what is written here?
You might as well scroll down. We'll get the bottom paragraph at the
end
here.
There we go.
We should start seeing civilizations as tribes with whom we have to treat and apply tests of friendship. This allows us to draw sensible distinctions between those who would do us harm and the good neighbours who help protect our home. That requires a recognition of difference, impossible under 20th century political constraints. We must abandon the trappings of post-war liberalism before our monuments are toppled by any of the revolutions it has made possible.
This is the pivot here. This is the idea that you can have your effectively neocon movement. You can have your anti-woke cake, but it must have, you know, a certain bent to it.
Mm.
It must contain certain symbology and accommodate certain people readily. But it's very clear what is being said here. If you understand what is being said here, who is saying it and who it's being carried by, again, this is in Aaron Hershey Ali's publication. This is her new based media. Well, who is Aaron Hershey Ali? Those of you who know, she's one of the ex-Muslim people.
Yes.
But she is a rank civic nationalist. She is a liberal. She is somebody who talks... Tell you what, let's just give a flavour of what she puts out. In the aftermath of October 7th attacks, it became apparent that horrific sexual violence was used as a tool against Israeli girls and women. Women were not only gagged, raped, but also had sharp objects shoved into them or shot between the legs. None of this seems to have merited any attention from the Me Too crowd. This tells me that, at its heart, Me Too is not about liberating women from the confines of the sexual patriarchy. There are real patriarchies existing right alongside us, which few, if any, on the left are willing to criticize for fear of being called racist. The Me Too movement has been shown for the hollow shell. Conservatism is the real feminism. We'll fight the real patriarchy. But it gets better. A year on from Hamas's heinous attack on Israel, we should welcome Israel's war against Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis, and most importantly,
against Iran.
Hmm. Yet Israel must also learn from America's mistakes. Why is somebody saying that there must be some sort of ethno-religious fusion between nativist movements and a certain people that they seem to make more comfortable, in quotes? It all seems to be part of... there is one issue.
Yes.
There is one issue, which is endless war driven by ethno-religious interest. And you are on one side of that issue or you are on the other. And this is what this demonstrates.
Yes.
This is who it's been written for. This is who has commissioned the piece. This is who is editing the piece. This is who the slant will come from. And this is where, you know, ultimately the slop is poured into the trough from.
Yes.
And Mr. Tomlinson is merely a slop conduit, one of many. He was completely interchangeable.
Hmm.
Aaron Hurst-Ali is founder of the her own little foundation there, which has We Are Grateful. Sorry. God, there's another one here, but I'll do this. God, the Ukraine one, where's this? From growing up in an illegal religious community in Iran to witnessing gender-based violence, diverse stories draw our interns to transform their passion into purpose. Yes, queen.
Yes.
Yes.
You came out of the Taliban rape cave, and now you're going to be here to shell for Israel.
Are you getting it yet? Here she is again. We are grateful that the UK and US has pledged to support Israel as they pledge to support Ukraine against Putin. A united forever wars front.
Yes, sorry.
But these are not difficult decisions to make. A few words here, a press conference there. There is no substitute for strategy.
Yes, I'm not sure what relevance it will mean to certain people. But Ayaan Hirsi Ali is, of course, married to Niall Ferguson.
Yes.
Anti-extremism researcher and friend of much of containment.
Yes. Yes. See, yeah, there is a large confidence there.
So that was me trying to work that out earlier on. I couldn't remember
who it was. He is asking people to donate to the Ukrainian military in 2022.
She's obviously not got the true Israeli memo, though, has she?
No. She also works for the Hoover Institute, who just puts out articles. God, look at the cartoon.
Sorry, what's happened to the Hoover Institute? Has there been a change of tack?
There's been a change of management, but this is just...
How
to stop Iran. God, this does not scale very well on this screen.
By Jerry Hendrix.
Unfortunately. But this just contains the line here at the bottom. If the United States is to reestablish a deterrent role in the Middle East, it must not fear to climb the escalation ladder by hitting Iranian targets.
Candidate objectives should include Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps installations, naval assets, energy infrastructure and even nuclear weapons development facilities with strike packages that are more destructive than any are launched by Iran's proxies.
It's actually just like Connor Tomlinson working for people who are sat there drooling about the idea of a war in Iran.
Please let me carry on here because this is great. Iran's religious leaders must feel the ground shake under their own feet, both politically and militarily. If this threat is not made manifest in their minds, they will continue to feel free to attack America and other Western interests wherever and whenever they wish. Until the words we say match the words they hear, there can be no diplomatic modus vivendi between our two countries. Once they feel fear of American strength again, then respect will also return, and stability. Until then, if the United States continues to appease the Ayatollahs, there will be no peace.
Well, you've seen the words. You've seen the paymasters. How much more clear can we make it?
Yeah.
Here's what's said. Here's who it was written for. It's just endless war. It's just endless war. It's Connor Tomlinson supporting just endless war. Anyway.
it gives him culpable deniability because he's only writing about cultural issues.
I'm only in this publication funded by these people saying these things that have nothing to do with me.
But this I find as well as sort of the other side of the coin. If we are to negate some of our liberal and post-war priors,
yes,
for the sake of European majorities, because of course without European majorities in European countries, where would the Jews live?
I will quickly say that we should do a couple more donations.
Oh yes, have we got quite a few sitting there?
We have a few donations here.
Feel free to get them up on the screen.
I'm just going to get them up on the phone here, which is a little bit easier. We have £10 here from British Knight. Thank you, British Knight. How long do you take for the ball to drop for the democracy and gauge that Trump isn't going to drain the swamp and the status quo will still be set? I don't think people will. It won't dawn on people, unfortunately. It hasn't dawned on them since he did nothing in the first 4 years. I don't imagine it will after the next 4 years when nothing is done. Thank you for the £10 of British Knight. $5 US here from Glow in the Dark. A diet slop is just as bad. I need to be ready for possible Israeli wag. Being big makes you a bigger target. that Telegraph Mummy One article was awful. £2, thank you.
Mummy One, that's fucking hilarious. Yeah.
TK, but the woke is being put away. Return to Fresh Prince, the 90s. Aaron, lol, have a pint on me, guys. Thank you. Everyone, bye to you. I hadn't heard of Constant and Kissing before you guys. Thanks. And thank you for becoming a member again, British Knight, at the level Venus Bro. So that's all our donations caught up on. Do feel free to donate via the Ko-Fi or via the Super Chat. Anyway, here's the other. He's been a busy boy, it seems. Another one.
Well, I'm going to quickly find the date from where the first
article
came. Yeah, so the first article we read there was from the 18th of October.
This is from 11 days later, yes.
11 days later. And this is essentially him wading in on the woke right controversy.
Yes. You've got some excerpts here.
I was going to say, should we just go through the first paragraph or two just for context, and then we can jump to the screenshots I've got?
Yes, we can. I hate the formatting.
The membership criteria of the modern left is unquestioning conformity to the logic of liberal progressivism. Not true at all. All non-whites are oppressed, gender is a social construct, and human nature is a blank slate shaped by education and economic circumstances. Technology, state power, and consciousness raising cultural products must be used to usher us into an egalitarian utopia. As a result, the right has become a refugee camp for heterodox thinkers. Yet cracks are showing in this anti-woke coalition. Charges of wokeness are now being levelled at various figures by politically homeless liberals. The problem is, the term woke right is ill-defined, self-contradictory, and a tactical blunder for an anti-woke coalition to use. Next paragraph I was going to get forward to.
You're seeing set up, it's very clear, this idea of this overarching anti-woke coalition, this big tent approach, this idea of the right as a refugee camp for heterodox thinkers. It's the big tent again.
We've all left the left, guys.
Yes. Big tent, and it's a labelling issue, not a substance issue. My friend, and if you want to see stuff about his friend, do check our other videos out. About his friend. My friend's trigonometry host, Constant Kissing. I don't know, I wouldn't call someone like that my friend purely in fixnogamy reasons, but I digress. Was a prominent early adopter of the term woke right. In February, Kissin accused Tucker Carlson of right-wing wokeness after Carlson interviewed Russian President Vladimir Putin. Kissin suggested that Carlson's career covering corruption in the American government led him to reactively romanticize Putin's Russia. In an interview with the website Unheard, Kissin said, Tucker has an ideological position, which he's come to after many, many years of criticizing Western leaders, which is to see the good in the other and not your own society, which is a very strange thing to say. As you, if you understand his background as the son of a kleptocrat,
yes, that would make a lot of sense. Now,
where should we?
I don't know if you want to go to the screenshots directly. The rest of the article isn't too long.
So no. We'll tell you what. We'll just go through these.
So that's the first one we've had already. There.
Yes, it is.
But there is another snippet here, which obviously is very much related to the first article we were talking about. Well, Churchill was right to vanquish the Nazis, because of course you could never question that. The institutions he established with the aim of upholding peace in Europe have resulted in, for example, an inability to deport millions of foreign criminals. Is it woke to reevaluate the merits of the post-war consensus and urge elements of it be revised? I mean, I wonder, once again, why this would be brought up. These institutions that stop mass deportations being brought up for the sake of protecting certain groups.
Yes.
On executive power above all else. However, that's just a bit from another paragraph. However, despite decrying Carl Schmittians, including me, this is referring to James Lindsay talking about the woke right as well now.
Yes.
Lindsay is happy to exercise sovereignty against his political enemies. He supported Trump when he promised to remove the Jew haters to do nothing to help our country, as do I, by the way. Lindsay is listed among telltale signs of woke rightism, blaming things on the Jews or doing edgy Nazi memes. Tucker Carlson is guilty of neither offence, nor is Auron McIntyre, an author and podcaster that Lindsay has dubbed woke right inner school adept. This is why we're all, of course, summoning the Archangel Michael.
Yes.
I understand the phenomenon that some are in good faith attempting to distance themselves from. I don't like anonymous neo-Nazis polluting my For You page, but I encourage my contemporaries to revise their criteria and come up with a better term next time.
It's a marketing issue.
Yeah.
It's a marketing issue.
The problem with the phrase woke right is that it just doesn't work. Not that it's a bad strategy.
Well, it's just this. It's just, you know... we all dislike clickbait contrarianism and are concerned about resurgent neo-Nazism. Like, where?
Mm.
What? What are you, like, we've talked about the hope not hate stuff, that this doesn't exist. They have to invent this stuff. And Mr. Tomlinson here is standing up and helping invent this stuff.
Mm.
Where are these people?
Yeah.
Who are these people? What are you pointing at?
Resurgent neo-Nazism. Woke right, or the classic Joel Berry, where are your limiting principles for questioning some sort of group or minority?
You know, for a Schmittian, you sure do the inverse of Schmitt.
Well, that's exactly. Exactly.
You know, I don't think you've actually read Schmitt, because you seem to take the opposite approach to his lessons. Unless...
he understands the threat of resurgent neo-Nazism, because he has performed the friendship test on all the different tribes.
Yes.
And the neo-Nazism tribe, however you define that one, obviously isn't on board with the rest of his friends.
We need to maintain our historic native European populations, because that's the safest place for Jews.
But I think for the sake of the people in the chat, the people who may be somewhat confused in certain respects to exactly what we're talking about,
yes.
I think we just have to refer to it simply as the carve-out.
The carve-out.
There was quite a good tweet by AE about this.
It is ethno-religious carve-out. It is the sign that there is one group who is the exception above all else, and no matter what the political paradigm is, will always be the exception above all else.
But furthermore as well...
you can be in wacky, wacky, woke, progressivism world, and they still have the exception. You can be in neocon, radical...
You can be Brianna Wu, or you can be Douglas Murray, but...
Yeah, but...
The unifying issue is the chosen people. And furthermore, I think we can really suggest that people in our sphere... Now, I'm not going to accuse anyone directly of doing anything. But what I will suggest is that at this point, if you are playing a part in perpetuating the dialectic around woke and anti-woke in any way, shape or form that is not rather extremely distanced and abstract from it, then what you are doing is perpetuating a dialectic that will only ever help Jewish interest groups.
Yes, exactly.
And Free Speech Union, the people around Christopher Ruffo, the Manhattan Institute, the Hoover Group, the Iron Hussey's lot, yeah. Douglas Murray and all these people, the lot in the UK that are in the Henry Jackson Society and all these neocon foundations, who's benefited most, who's accrued the most power out of having a go at woke and reforming society for woke? These people.
Yes. But here we have another article, which is, again, another very obvious part of the carve-out by Mr. Nathan Kochnass, another figure who is pushed to us as quote-unquote based.
Mm.
But this is just called Wokeism is Just the Beginning. And there's sections you want to read out here.
Yes.
But,
The argument that wokeism peaked in the early 2020s is similarly flawed. Obviously, the emotional intensity of 2020 to 2023 could not be permanently sustained, but instead of burning down police stations, social justice warriors are in our boardrooms, universities, and government bureaucracies putting their ideology into practice. Didn't Boeing shut down the DEI thing? Aren't Harvard and MIT papping out all these black
people? The problem isn't your incompetent elites who run your country. It's the institutions are riddled with SJWs. There's SJWs under the bed.
Millennials, Zoomers, and elites remain firmly on the side of DEI and cancel culture. Regardless of who wins the 2024 presidential election, wokesters are on a path to achieve absolute power in the next 10 to 30 years.
Ooh, they've got to keep this. Is I think we've beaten this to death.
Yes.
By now, I think that anyone who still thinks that there is this great woke boogeyman that are rather nosy, let's say, alliance of ragtag tribes must take out, seems to stretch credulity a little bit.
Yes. Our institutions are largely controlled by boomers and Gen Xers who lean toward classical liberalism. This is the demographic that stands in the way of the total wokeification of America and other Western countries. But to repeat Solomon's observation, one generation goes and another generation comes. In this case, generational turnover will mean the end of free speech, free thought, free association, due process, and everything that millennials and especially Zoomers think is less important than diversity, equity, and inclusion. I mean, it's just froth.
Yeah, this is just, like, lies.
It's like,
when the boomer truth regime goes away, we will all suffer, guys. it is just froth, you're right.
What's the next one I've got here? Starts with if gender ideology. I just picked this out because I think this is just funny. And I think to a certain extent, if you were to go to the people who are obsessed with anti-woke shit and try and explain what he's explaining here to them, I think every single one of them would balk at this.
Yes.
If gender ideology turns out to be a fad, but we retain the obsession with white privilege and racial bean counting, wokeism will still be with us. On the other hand, if we all become race realists and accept that many racial disparities are the product of nature for which no one is to blame, wokeism in any recognisable form will be over, even if some race realists demand to be called Zier.
I don't quite get which side of this. It almost sounds like he's trying to be... I'm not quite sure what he's getting
because
at.
Because I think in some regard, the HBD people are probably trying to stick their toe into a more sensible stance on the sex gender thing. And maybe there's a bit of that going on there. Otherwise, I think it's also, and as I'll explain once I've read the last snippet of his essay here. I mean, this essay is huge.
Yes.
And there's lots of like empirical stuff in here he uses to try and prove the fact that woke still is in its prime. Which if you actually read any sort of critical fashion because it falls apart very quickly.
We've kicked that one to death, yes. But
anyway, the reason mainstream conservative institutions don't allow discussions of hereditarianism, which seems to be some little catch-all he's got for thinking about...
Yes.
About the fact that there are...
Heritability.
Yeah, material heritabilities between races and different groups.
He's talking about basic heritability, which is funny that that's considered quote-unquote based. But
yes, anyway. Institutions don't allow discussion of hereditarianism is mainly because of Boomer and Gen X gatekeepers who accept the left's race taboos and think we can defeat wokeism by talking about Ronald Reagan and quoting Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. When the rising generations of right-wing intellectuals take the reign at institutions like National Review and the Claremont Institute, they may implement a more effective strategy. Now, I'm going to attempt to do something here and take all these different disparate elements and pull them all together in one big thing here. We've got Tomlinson at the behest of Ian here, CLE, and the Hoover Institute running around about how I have to question the social and cultural priors of post-war liberalism and the post-war consensus, that we have to suggest that these things are inadequate, that they're not allowing us to limit people who are attacking our friendly tribes. Meanwhile, at the same time, Mr. Kaufnass is suggesting that we all need to be race realists in this very sort of strict and material sense because it's a better explanation for why different groups rule over other groups in society.
Yes.
So what's really happening here is that both of these people are separately representing the same cohort of elites that would rather move towards the human biodiversity arguments for IQ and how that represents your position in society, especially if you're, you know, Jewish.
Yes.
Because they have an overrepresented position, and that is, of course, a consequence of the fact that they're the smartest people in the world, man.
Well, Kaufnass's whole point is that he likes to foam and, like, he likes to piss and shit and seethe.
At the Groypers.
No, not just, no, at Culture of Critique.
Well, that too, yes, at Kevin MacDonald.
At Kevin MacDonald. He likes to, he likes to get really mad at people who create a much more honest version of the HBD soup that, you know, AA said hi in chat there, but he encountered this whole thing where if you question some of the literature that places, you know, the elite, let's say the elite human capital in quotes at the top of the pyramid we currently see, if you look into the numbers are bunk.
Mm.
They're from studies of like 9 people, some of them. It's very funny. But that is the, like, it's like the sacred Jedi text to people like Nathan Kaufnass, who's trying to create this idea of, well, yes, of course there's heritability. He's just, we have these people finally admit the tiniest little bit of the truth that they then distort. And then we're supposed to praise them.
Yeah.
Yeah, of no shit, smart people have smarter kids. Is this the bar?
And we could start...
is this really the bar?
We could start drawing the triangle further upwards as well. I think this is a recognition.
It's a giant limited hangout. So, people are writing in chat, it's a giant limited hangout.
Yes. Well, yes, that too. But I think we can also see that this is your sort of... your cohort of elites that we talked about earlier on, these billionaires that are supporting Trump and his campaign and fundamentally a large part of his geopolitical campaign, are looking at the boomers and what's left of the generation before them even, that are in power, that are elites, and they're turning around and saying, look, either come to us or let us replace you through the culture war.
Yes.
And essentially keep this whole system going along, you know, Doge, the Department of Government Efficiency, which is basically going to make the giant technocratic weapon more efficient.
Yes.
At the behest of, I don't know, as Mary Harrington was shelling the other week for, Palantir, you know, that is really adjacent intelligence software that could be used to manage everyone's data on the NHS.
Another based publication, another supposed friend who we keep being stapled to, another alum of the same, they come from the same nest, these people,
and
they're from the same birthing pods.
And at the same time as well, maybe I'd be jumping too far here, but to be honest, every time we jump to conclusions, we tend to not go far enough.
Yes.
Mary Harrington's little friend, Raw Egg Nationalist, who's now running around trying to put legal pressure on Hope Not Hate, who is again also part of that sort of feel adjacent sphere. Could we not see
a lot of pantomime going on?
Well, I was going to say, could we not see this as a suggestion that these people are trying to put pressure on sort of woke spooks in an effort to replace them with Palantir-adjacent, more Israel-friendly spooks that are based?
Well, they are asking for more. Yeah, they're basically asking for base spooks here. If this is, it cuts it off because Unheard is a terribly formatted website. Blair was right about ID cards. Our privacy is long gone. There we go. That might look a bit better, but suppose it doesn't even look that much better. It really is. Shall we go to that bit, actually?
You just look up Palantir. It's directly there somewhere. Yes.
Zooming out a little bit, yes. Here we go.
I'll scroll up to the paragraph on top.
Go.
That's not the world we live in anymore. We don't live in the relatively high-trust one of the mid-20th century, all paper forms and checks in the post. Unless we adapt to the Britain we have now... It's very Blair, that.
Yes, it is. This is extremely Blair.
Our capacity to function at all will go on disintegrating, and given the endemic inability of our leadership class to build meaningful state capacity across either party, adapting it's in practice going to mean selling us all to big tech. Our government evidently already accepts this. On Monday, Health Secretary Wes Streeting made much of a deal agreed by the Tories to unify the country's currently scattered and poorly integrated NHS patient records. The contractor to the consternation of privacy and Palestine advocates alike is Peter Thiel's Palantir, purveyor of military and surveillance tech to, amongst others, Israel.
And this is being sold as a good thing.
Well, no, she's not selling it. She's saying it's too far gone. And we're too far past, so we can't even ask the question anymore. So we might as well just accept the reality as the way it is.
No, it's just like, oh, well, this is the way things are. We accept it. Oh, but it makes the Palestinian advocates mad. There's implied friend enemy.
The smelly leftists.
The smelly leftists.
They get owned.
Oh, we need to own the smelly leftists hate ID cards. We need to own the smelly leftists by having Blair's ID cards. Thank you, Mary Harrington, someone who people keep insisting is quote unquote best.
I am only mildly disappointed by the fact that she didn't then go and put the argument in of, well, if we have ID that's based on some biological standards, then can't we, keep the fucking Truns out? Because that was, what was her name from, Maya Forstarter or whatever? She wrote a whole bloody paper on that.
Oh, Maya Forrester?
Yes.
That one. The one there. Right. I hope we can demonstrate to you here, though, that a lot of this is just in aid of the permanent agenda. That we have this neocon money pit that has tentacles that reach down, and you can very clearly demonstrate it. You can very clearly demonstrate the interconnections and the utter hunger for war and the further death of Europeans and the carve out for an ethno-religious group that is not native to Europe. That is what this is about. Those are the permanent projects. It is just mass death and racial hierarchy stacking. And it is a vertically integrated pipeline of it, and you don't subsume them, they subsume you, as you've seen in all of these little subtle turns in these supposedly based articles in which they bring you a little bit of the way and turn you around and go, well, of course we have to make exceptions for this group, we have to make exceptions. Well, I know you want a nativist movement, but you can't have a truly nativist movement because that's Nazism.
But we can
and
have
that's
a,
bad.
You can have a little bit of exception as a treat, as long as it's best for the tribe.
Yes, that is exactly the alliance of tribes, the big tent, and who has to be in charge of the tent, and it's all going the same way. It's all saying the same thing, and it's all so frightfully obvious when you read it and when you look at it that this is going on.
I mean, I can't not see this in this stuff now. And it maybe some people would say, well, it's because you're going looking for it, but there's so much of it.
It's egregious. It's
the reason why
egregious in many
the
cases.
Reason why I wanted to read some of these in details was to focus on specific instances of what I could only really describe as a bit of linguistic slipperiness. But there's hundreds of these. This is basically all the entire Ruffo, Claremont Institute.
All these
sphere.
People are also interchangeable. They rise and fall, and they. But the message remains the same.
The message and the alliances, factions,
the factions, the interests, the alliances, and the message remain the same, no matter which talking head it is being, pushed through as a slop conduit. I'd get more mad at these people, but really what they are is just like human slop centipedes.
You can't get angry at a computer that shows you images that's been pre-programmed to show you.
Yeah, I'm afraid when that message came out of Connor Tomlinson, it had already been through the Hoover Institute and Ironhurst Ali before it. Like the neocon human centipede. And he gets to like birth the final turd. Well done. It's a nice vivid mental image there for you. Well, I will actually go ahead and recommend one of AA's videos here as well, not just because he's in chat. We don't want to explain the Chris Ruffo situation and some of the funniness with the Manhattan Institute, But really, again, it's more of the post-woke world stuff. It's more business as usual. A neocon think tank is actually just hiring porn stars and hiring effectively, well, friends of friends. And as we'll see here, let's say here's your American dissident rights, sir, is basically but this is Hannah Grossman, another alum of Chris Rufo's Manhattan Institute, which is supposed to be one of these new post-woke institutions. It's supposed to be one of the hardcore fight backs against woke in America that is doing substantive things. And I think a lot of this speaks for itself.
Hannah Grossman on Holocaust Education, Remembrance and Action, posted by Two Tall Jews.
This week's episode is happy to host Hannah Grossman from the Grossman Project. Hannah Grossman is a Holocaust educator, journalist, opinion writer, and digital marketer. Hannah is the passion behind the Herman Grossman Project, the initiative created in honor of her grandfather, Herman Grossman, that seeks to expose the Nazis' crimes that will never be forgotten, never again, and to educate the next generation about anti-Semitism. Isn't this supposed to be about conservatism?
Yeah, and
how is this supposed to save the West?
In this chat, Hannah shares her grandfather's story while pointing to the importance of adapting Holocaust education for a world where no more survivors are present to share their stories. But I thought new Holocaust survivors were coming out every other day. And there seems to be more of them. That's a crying shame if there aren't any left.
Thank you, Spud Gun, for the £2. Raytheon and BAE Systems need your support.
Oh, yes. They need our solidarity.
Why?
Glow in the Dark as well with $10. I'm doing my part. Are you doing your part? Israel will do what they see benefits them as would many. There is a way it could benefit America, but it depends on what you mean. Well, I think what he's getting at here is ultimately the argument that certain people have used to justify this sort of dual allegiance, you might say. That if we give our support to Israel, and more specifically to Zionism,
they will lend us some of their exception powers.
Yes, they'll give us our little Zionism in Britain.
They will carve off a little sliver of the myths of the 20th century, now, and they will let us use them.
If you believe that, I've got another bridge to sell you.
Oh no, it's another bridge.
I have got another bridge to sell you, because that sounds like quite the improper gamble.
It does sound like, again, it comes down to this. Why can't European countries have nativist movements that have actual nativist interest? Why can we never sit and talk about our own issues, talk about what's happening actually in our towns, our homes, our families, with all of the things that we are, you know, supposedly paying the taxation pot for, the nuts and bolts stuff? It's all drowned out by the one issue. There is one issue that is being talked about in all of this. We're not the ones talking about this. We would like
Are all the eyes on Israel?
Yeah, yeah. We would like to talk about, as we continue to do with our positive vision for the right stuff, for the in-person event stuff, we want to talk about how do we make substantive changes that protect our own people. And you are not allowed to have that discussion without someone going, excuse me.
Unless you're surrounded by police officers.
Yes. Why aren't my ethno-religious interests being represented here? You are a Nazi. And that is the discussion we see going on over and over and over again. It is a bizarre obsession. I agree, but it is not our obsession. It is the obsession of the supposedly non-regime right that we must ally ourselves with these disparate. Why can't we ally ourselves with ourselves?
Why can't we perform our own friendship tests?
Yes.
And discern which tribes we do and don't want to ally ourselves with? Why must we always be at the behest of a certain subset of paymasters who, irrespective of their own ethnic identity, just seem to have this alliance in them that they cannot shear away from themselves?
Why can't we first look inwards and rebuild what we are without people trying to staple them to us, like ethnic tumours? That is the main contention through all of the immigration, through all of the integration talk. It's not about who it is. It's not about where they come from. It's not about what they believe. They are not us, and we are not them.
Yes.
And they never will be. And that is the point. That is the whole. The rest is haggling. You either believe that or you don't.
Yes.
And if you don't believe that, you fundamentally have an unworkable model of how you can structure society, because all of this is various forms of collapsitarian civic nationalism.
Yes.
That's what it is.
I mean, I would say maybe as one final point as a counterpoint, because we do know that certain people who maybe wouldn't what we say, but yes, do listen to what we say. And in terms of intellectual fairness and honesty,
yes,
I want to put the question to people. Where is the limiting principle for your adoration for Israel and the cause of Zionism to stop it stepping in front of your adoration of your own people?
Yes.
And your own country? I mean, surely, as you've said, there can be no dual loyalties. The interests of one must come before the other. So where does the love of Israel go too far? Riddle me that, please.
Another donation here from British Knight. Thank you for an extra £5. Bedroom actors are the face of the American distant right? Crank your hog for Israel or you're part of the woke right. That's kind of what's being said, really. But it is a lot about... There's a lot of social signal that goes on. There's a lot of keeping people in line.
Mm.
Again, we've... people think we're crazy to be so certain about the Trump stuff as well.
But it's just obvious.
It's what the music says. It's in the script. I'm sorry. I can't say in any other way than that.
We're from the future.
Yeah, that's what I mean. We've read ahead. Read ahead in the script. Trump's going to win.
Do you want to double check the Ko-Fi and see if anything's come through? In the meantime, whilst we've got quite a lot of folk here, I'm just going to remind you, please, if you don't mind, give the stream a like and subscribe to the channel. And please tell me in the comments how much you love Israel or how much you love Al Gore's rhythms. Because
yes,
we all love them too.
Again, I keep promising stuff at the Substack, but I've just had endless... I don't know what's wrong with it. My account might be broken or something. I will get that sorted. But we do have stuff in various places. Do go back and watch some of that catalogue, because we try and make evergreen content. Woke is over. It really is. I'm sorry. Stop trying to make woke happen again. Anyone you see trying to defibrillate it is doing
and revive it.
Yes. And revive it is doing so out of ulterior motives. Again,
well, I think a lot of people...
We've gone over quite a lot.
Yeah, a lot of people are doing it for very shallow reasons. We will not accuse them of having direct loyalties to people that don't like us. But we can only really suggest to them that for as long as they continue to perpetuate a dialectic that has no use to it, that they're only ever working against their own interests.
I would be saying that I've heard a more generous argument, which is that this is the caveats you have to put in to get published by these places. The correct answer is, well...
Why don't we publish our own?
Yeah, it's like, well, why would you want to be published by these places? Why would you want to prostrate yourself before a neocon entity and allow it to dilute your message?
Yep.
I know people think we're nuts for that, but like, yeah, just don't suckle. It's not hard, guys. Don't suckle from the neocon teat. Make neocon talking points.
I always find that funny, though, because they'll go, oh, well, such and such an American, you know, outlet like National Review is prestigious. And it's like, oh no, it's not.
No, it isn't. National Review, prestigious.
You've got this all the wrong way around, my good
friend. Yes, you do have this all the wrong way around. A slightly quicker one today, but quite honestly, we don't like to be too long in the tooth.
Do we want to sit there for an hour going, we told you so, we told you so, we told you so.
This is the paradigm. This is the maneuver being pulled. It doesn't matter what the window dressing is on the politics if it still involves the same group of elites.
But what about my video games?
That's really it. We are trying to recognise you, trying to make you recognise the fact that, yes, Trump will win, but it doesn't matter.
Yes.
Yes, woke's been put away, but really it doesn't matter. It's more churn. It's more churn of the...
Because the entrenched structures and elites will stay the same.
Yes, there is one permanent feature of the current West, which is decline, and that is because it is ruled by a large permanent bureaucracy who has been contiguously in charge since the end of the Second World War.
Yep.
And the elite group of that bureaucracy are the people who set the mould of the future.
And don't allow containment to be the mouthpiece for these elites who hate you negotiating their way out peacefully.
No, don't let that happen. And as always, and as we always say, electoral politics is not, in fact, real. So don't... try and avoid too much election stuff, guys. We've kind of undercut it by being slightly ballsy on the prediction front. But yeah, electoral politics, don't fall for the election stuff. It really is not important what the face says. There is a large permanent agenda that will continue running no matter who is president of the US. And that has been, if you disagree with that, then have a glance at American history for like 12 seconds. It's very, very obvious. Anyway, before we keep rambling, I'll say all I have to say is goodbye from me.
And good evening from me.
Yes. And
go to the pub.
Play the music, I suppose.